Good morning, 737, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. Okay, first question I have for you is just a clarity question. I, of course, watched the press conference yesterday, and we talked a bunch about it, and our news department has been promoting the changes in the road closures, the perimeter being expanded for the parade, and, you know, the parking enforcement, all of that, all of which makes sense to me. I agree with. Those are all, and including even, you know, blocking off Main Street at Palafox, because you guys are absolutely right. That is a very dangerous situation where you have floats and pedestrians and cars, and it's all bad. What I don't understand, and I just want to make sure that I do get it clear, is in the map you guys released yesterday, it makes it look like all of Main Street from Community Maritime Park all the way over to the Veterans Memorial Park and Romana is going to be completely closed starting an hour before the parade. Even Cedar Street is going to be completely closed starting an hour before the parade. That's what the map seems to indicate. Is that the intention?
We will provide clarity on that. Obviously, I would want to get with our PPD team of exactly where it closes off. Understand, anytime we close a road anywhere in the city, it's never closed just at the point of concern, right? You have to back it up with signage and things like that. So it is certainly not out of the realm of possibility. It would be extended. It will not just be road closed signs, you know, 10 feet away from Palafox Street, right? It's going to have some depth to it or some width to it, I guess. Where it is exactly, we can certainly provide clarity on. But yes, Main Street at Palafox being the main concern will be closed from an hour prior to the parade, and then will be reopened immediately following the parade. So, but we can get clarity on exactly how many blocks that is.
Okay, and that was exactly the question, because if Main and Palafox and then a block in either direction is going to be closed, and all you got to do is kind of go east on Main, drop down to Cedar, and come back up for Bayfront. Okay, no worries. I get that. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. If instead we're closing off that whole stretch of Main and Bayfront, I mean, that's a massive difference where you not just could go up to Cervantes, but would have to go up to Cervantes. That's a major change. And even just kind of, again, looking at the map, like Tarragona, I thought the idea was people would be able to drive on Tarragona, just wouldn't be able to go west, or that people would be able to drive on, what's the street that's just east of Coil? I always forget.
It's Roos. DeVillers is the new extended. Yeah.
Right, and would you be able to drive on DeVillers or not be able to drive on DeVillers? The map seems to say both, and those are the questions that I just kind of want to get clarity on, because it was not clear to me, and I want to know. And it sounds like you guys aren't sure yet, and so you'll get back.
Yeah, we're happy to provide that, but let me touch on something you did say. If you were going to this parade, then I would plan on using A Street and 9th Avenue as the ways to get on whatever side of the parade you want to be on. In other words, you'll be able to get closer clearly than those two roads, but in terms of having, you know, larger thoroughfares that'll move traffic quickly, I would do exactly what you said. Treat Cervantes on the getting east and west, as well as A and 9th Avenue, to come down to whatever street you would like or where you normally park or anything like that, because with Main Street closed, and we're again only an hour before, so if you're there bright and early in the morning, no problem. But the safest way to handle it and to manage it is just come in from the north on whichever side of the parade route you want to be on. That's the safest way to do it. Both ingress and egress is that you're going to be going back north towards Cervantes when you leave the parade. Same type of situation. And that's just good. Honestly, I think that's pretty sound advice, just given the traffic normally, much less the changes.
And just one more on this, just to make sure, because I know you get what I'm asking, but like the way this looks, and if it is that full closure, I mean, that looks like you can't get down to South Palafox, to the plaza. You can't get down to, you know, Fish House or Atlas or any of that kind of stuff, the port. Like it makes it look like maybe all of that is going to be completely blocked off an hour before the parade. Until, you know, after the parade is over. And I just want to make sure that I wouldn't think that's the intent, but that's what I'm asking. And the other question, and somebody pointed this out to me, go ahead.
Listen, people are going to be able to move. Obviously, we get questions like, well, what if I live inside the box, and what if I work there and my shift starts at 2:00? Obviously, like we normally do, a very managed situation with police at every one of these intersections, you know, if there's some type of emergency situation. But what we don't want is people deciding to drive out there just for the sake of driving out there. That's what exactly the thing that we're trying to avoid.
Well, like, I'm thinking the parking lots that are south of Maine, you know, whether it's New World Landing or the big parking lots, it actually makes it look like you can't even get to those. That's why I'm kind of asking. The other side of this that I was curious about is, what's the reopening time? Because, you know, the people who, like, for example, the beginning of the parade starts, let's say at 2, and then you're done at 3, but the rest of the parade doesn't even get going. When is the reopening time planned to be, or do you know yet?
What I'd tell you is it's at the when the final float has gone through the parade.
Okay, so when the end comes all the way through. Okay.
And the argument there is, as again, Andrew, you've been here long enough, you've seen the melee that is the Palafox and Main intersection that is not protected with cars coming through. And so at the end of the day, if there are people standing there waiting to collect beads, then it's a safety issue, right? So we're just going to be – you should expect that through the end of the parade. So if you don't, if you need to get through on Main Street for whatever reason – and again, you can always leave the parade by going north, by going towards Cervantes. So, you know, that direction. It's all we're talking about is that cut through on Main, which really, I mean, to be honest with you, Andrew, we should have probably done this years ago. So this is just – as we were looking and saying, what can we do better? This is one of those ones that's been, you know, we dusted off and said, we finally need to do what we think is the right thing here.
Oh, and I agree with you about that, by the way. I mean, I have long thought that the Maine and Palafox was a terrible catastrophe waiting to happen. So I actually agree with that. One of the things that you announced is that it's no longer going to be the nod, nod, wink, wink, you know, don't park here, we're going to tow your car. But that's actively going to be enforced with lots of signage, lots of early warning. The question I have is, you're not talking about getting all the cars off the streets everywhere within the box, I assume. You're talking about getting all the cars off of the parade route itself. Is that right?
That is correct. And if you didn't make that distinction, I was going to, just to save us both some emails.
But
No, what we are not saying, you know, yes, if you park at your office or whatever, you know, or by that, none of the towing will be. What we are talking about is if your car is directly in the parade route. As you can imagine, if you were in my position, anybody listening out there, imagine the safety compromise of having an empty, unattended vehicle in the middle of the parade, which we have rolled parades here with unattended vehicles in the parade. I mean, in which that will never happen again.
Right.
And so. Listen, our PPD are reasonable people. They're going to try to call the owner. We do that all the time. You know, we want to do our best, but we are asking our residents to say, you know, if you parked there last night, or and there will be plenty of signage up, and we are putting it out 3 days in advance. So it's not – no one's going to be surprised by, you know, that, oh, I forgot I couldn't leave my car there. And this isn't a money-making thing. All we want to do is we want to get them out of the parade route and make it as safe as possible. So, yes, thank you for that clarification. We are not changing towing rules in our city for this. What we are saying is if your car is going to be end up inside the barricades of the parade without us towing it, it will be towed.
Right.
3 hours ahead of the Saturday parade by 11 a.m., and by 5:30 p.m. on Friday, obviously a tighter window because of people working in the evening hours.
One last quick question just on parade security, because this is obviously a major focus for everyone in the United States after New Orleans, but it always has been. I am assuming it didn't come up yesterday, but I am assuming that we are still, you know, you're placing trucks, you're placing barriers, you're even going to be using those kind of semi-on loan to us red anti-vehicle devices. Obviously, we haven't put in new bollards or anything like that, which is sort of in the works for long term. But I'm assuming that we are at maximum available physical impediment implementation for the parade. Is that right?
That's correct. Obviously, we aren't going to come out and advertise that map of all of those things, but we have looked at where every truck goes, where every officer goes, looking at where our vulnerabilities are, adding new equipment, adding new partnerships, leaning on our sheriff's department, some of our state resources to help us, you know, further that effort. So, what I can tell you is certainly this is this will be for infrastructure and a manpower standpoint. The most resourced parade we've had here.
Very good. Turning to some other things, one is talk to me about this artist in residence program. I did not, I know you guys put out a video. I did not watch it yet. I apologize, but what is this all about?
Yeah. We're very excited about this. You know, we were always trying to strike that balance of trying to, involve art in projects that happen around our city, and in our community, and striking that balance of making that something that's on our priority list, but trying to kind of right size it. And so, you know, is this something that needs a full-time person? You know, is there 40 hours a week of city representation within the art community? Maybe not. But then what we also realized through this process, and this is really born from listening to some part of some of the groups at U.S. Mayors I'm in, partner with the National Endowment of the Arts, and this really was born from looking at best practices in how other cities integrate within the arts community. And this was the one that we liked the most. I believe St. Paul, Minnesota has been doing this for a long time. But ultimately what we see is this rotating artists in residence program, and Danny DeCastro, obviously a renowned muralist in this area and beyond, will step in and do a great job for us. And her first job really is to do some of the things that we probably should already have been doing. For example, having an artist directory, who are artists in the city, and then representing us as a liaison at these different things, be it ACE or Arts Festival, a seafood festival. You know, I kind of joke currently, before we create this position, that's my job. It's falling in my docket right now. If you've ever seen me draw anything, you don't want me as your artist in residence.
You can have good taste buds and not have good cooking skills. I mean, that's possible.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I got that in sports writing all the time. You know, have you played linebacker at Alabama? No, but, I know enough about it. We're very excited. We think this is that right size in that we want to have representation. And what I think about, for example, is, if we're going to redo Palafox and maybe we want to have some type of installation, who's the expert that's going to come in between engineers and mayors and everybody else to say, maybe there's something cool we can do here, So it's kind of that injection of making sure that we have eyes on that. And if you look at our strategic plan, this is something that our citizens ask for. Is an increase in this, and it's one of the eight things that we mentioned. And so we've been working on this coincidentally before we got those results, but certainly it reinforces that there is a need here for us to have some representation and really make it a two-way street. We want artists and that's everything from video to murals to whatever type of art, music that you're into. We wanted there to be a two-way street that folks that want to give us ideas or feedback has someone they can call, right, and have their voice heard at the city. So we're excited for it. It's a new thing. We'll learn a lot through this process, and the goal is to rotate this artist over time that we have different types of art being represented.
So it sounds to me like maybe this is a terrible comparison, but it's the one that jumps to mind is, we have a city arborist in order to manage all the trees. We have a city artist in order to kind of oversee, manage, liaise with the public art. And what I hear here is an emphasis on trying to increase the visual aesthetic of the city so that it's more of a place made. So that, is there an opportunity to add public art there, a mural or a sculpture or, as you say, video or, whatever the street art, whatever the thing might be, how can we make our community more vibrant in this regard? And if that's what you're looking at, I'm all on board. That sounds great.
That's a great way to put it. And what I realized is we have all of these types of touch points come across my desk, and then we just realized we didn't have anybody to get it to the finish line.
Gotcha.
And again, this may not need a full-time person, and this certainly isn't a full-time person. So we're trying to be respectful of budgets and taxpayer money and all these things. This is actually most of this first part is ARPA funded. So it's not coming out of a general fund, and we'll figure out in the years to come. But that it was trying to find that right size that we could have that representation without it being something overly burdensome to the taxpayer.
The airport. We're calling it a cell phone lot. I think probably we should just call it a smartphone lot or a waiting lot or something like that. But just quickly, I don't know, and I apologize for not knowing. Is it open? You had said it was going to be open, I thought, last week. But is it actually open and functional?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, we had so many things at the press conference, I didn't get a confirmation. I believe it was supposed to open today, and I'm flying out at 6 o'clock. So if you call me tonight, I'll let you know.
Excellent. All right.
But yes, it should be. If it's not open already, it should be open I think the expectation, and I have not heard a delay, so I expect that it's open today.
Okay, and just a technical question. Were we building a digital signboard of some kind that shows the flights, or are people going to have to be on their phones looking all the time, taking the alerts, that kind of thing? I just don't know which it was, because I've always valued when I go to other airports that there's at least some kind of a sign you can look at to check arrivals anyway, or is that not in place? I just don't know.
This is when someone would joke that that they would have to see my face on this digital screen too. Is what one of my friends would joke about if we put one at the airport. But,
okay. It's really just a texting lot. It's your friend texting you that, or your spouse texting you, "I'm down, come pick me up." That's basically what it is. A waiting space.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's all I was just curious about. I didn't know the answer to that question. We always like to end with a lightning round, silly, frivolous, ridiculous, and super entertaining questions. Are you a fan of tamper-proofing on bottles, or would you rather go without it, run the risk, but also save the time and inconvenience of having to open the 13 anti-child locks on the Kraft ranch dressing?
You know what? I do have a little sense of certainty on having the tamper-proof.
Okay.
I don't know.
You feel safer.
It also tests my, common sense every now and then as well.
All right, fair enough. Do you have a favorite burner on the stove?
Yeah, you know what? You got me thinking about this when you were talking about this way back when. I think it's front left. I think that's my go-to if I'm going subconscious. Front left, is that?
I think front left is a
sign, am I, or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's popular for an awful lot of people. I think front left is super, super popular. Last one is, does DC Reeves share food with anybody else? Your lady, your kid, do you share food, or are you very territorial about your food?
I do share food. My girlfriend usually eats the first bite of whatever I order before I do it, so I don't. It's kind of forced. I don't really have much of a choice. But
is that kindness? Is that assertiveness, or is that like she's your taste tester to make sure?
Probably a little combination of wanting to try something that she didn't order is probably the main reason. But yeah, but you know, with my maturity and growth, I've learned to adapt to this this practice, and I've just been very patient. I don't even take a bite. I just wait a second because I know it's coming.
It sounds like something you'd hear from the animal kingdom, like an act of dominance. Like, you give me that food for like I love. I love that your reaction is, I just let it happen. It's okay. She's worth it.
I'm gonna start fighting it. I'm gonna start fighting it now if you say that.
I think it's a beautiful give and take in a healthy relationship. So that's right. Or a take and take, as the bite may be. DC Reeves is the Pensacola mayor. I would love to know about the cell phone lot if that's open later. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll clear that up for you.
Right.
And on the Mardi Gras stuff, we'll get that.
Perfect.
Out.
Look forward to that clarification. We got time. We got a week. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.